Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
May the 14th, 2023, and it's around 9:08 in the morning, and I want to welcome everyone to the broadcast. Amen. Declaring the word of God, amen, the kingdom of God, amen. As I've stated many times, right, that the will of God is the word of God. All right, it is the contract, it is the inheritance, it is our portion, amen. And then the will of God, like I said, is the word of God. The word of God brings us into the way. We understand the way of God by understanding the word of God. And all this has to be done by the Holy Spirit, amen. And then, as we understand the way, then we begin to understand how to do the work of God in the earth, amen. And it's very important, all right, that we understand this, amen. Divine order, divine authority is very important to the Father, amen. He is a God of order. He's a God of integrity. He's a God of righteousness. Amen. He does things right, glory to God. And when we try to get involved in doing it our own way, right, the scripture says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, because mankind continuously goes to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil means that you keep trying to do it yourself without the wisdom and the counsel and the instructions and the understanding from God. And so, again, the way of God is very important in what and how we conduct our lives, amen, and how we approach whatever that thing is that God has brought us wisdom to now. So you have to seek God, obviously, to understand what God has planned for you and the direction that he wants you to take. So again, the will, the word, the way, the work, the four W's, that's what I call it. All right, so now, like I said, I'm very grateful for this day. Like I said, today is Mother's Day, all right, for the mothers out there. And, you know, I'm grateful, amen, for the Lord, amen, in my life. And, all right, so there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? And of course, it's very easy, right? Because, see, the enemy came to Eve, and he told her, surely God knows that in the day that you eat of this tree, you're going to be like God. In other words, your own governor. And that's what the enemy wants, right? He wants everybody managing themselves. He doesn't want us to understand authority, to come under authority, to learn the ways of God, right? As the scripture says in James, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he must flee. Well, the devil is not going to flee if you're not submitted to God. That's the bottom line there. And so without faith, as the scripture says, it's impossible to please God if you don't have the word of God. Without faith, well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You've got to have the word. Amen. Bringing direction. And as the scripture says, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. I'm sorry. Hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. The just shall live by faith. We move by faith. Amen. That is the distinction that the body of Christ has, is that we understand how to operate in faith toward God. Now, faith is not just having faith because I say I have faith. Faith towards God, not faith to see the circumstance change without having the word. You've got to have the word and the direction from God first, from the Spirit of God. And it all comes out of your spirit, right? As you spend time with God, as you fellowship the Lord, as you pay attention to what God is revealing to you in your spirit, well, then he starts bringing direction. He starts bringing his counsel, his instructions. Amen. And then, therefore, we get some direction from God. And then we believe the word, the rhema that God gives us, and we start working that word. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. The word of God that's spoken in our spirits is crying forth, crying out. Amen. We begin to meditate on that word, and we begin to understand where the Lord wants us to go on this. You understand? Oh, man. Praise God. I thank you, Lord God, for this precious day, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to present your kingdom, Father God, the way of God. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We want to understand your ways, Father God. We want to understand your will, your word, and how to do the word by the way, and how to do the work that you have for us, Father God, in this earth. We want to do it the way you want us to do it, Father God. Not my will be done, as the Lord Jesus taught us, but thy will be done, glory to God. And it's important, Father God, for us to understand this, Lord God. So I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit right now. I thank you for the strength of God to deliver your word, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, for the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. In other words, Father God, I'm going to sow that word, Father, and I'm trusting and praying that it falls on good ground, Father. And I thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, the way, right? We're talking about the way. And today we're going to be discussing, you know, the way of the soul, right? And what he's all about in some aspects. And but before I get into that, I wanted to share a scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Very precious scripture, amen, that has been ministering life to me, amen. You know, every day we've got to go seek God for the bread, amen. Jesus said, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. All right. Where's that verse at? All right. So that's going to be in Matthew 4, verse 3. Let's take a look at that real quick. I want to look at something there before I can. Amen. Matthew 4. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to turn there. All right. And he answered, and remember, this was the hour of the temptation, right? So, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. All right, live here. Live is the word zao. Zao is to live and to breathe. But I like metaphorically, it says here in the definition on the there, it says to be full in vigor, to be fresh, to be strong, to be efficient, to be powerful, to be efficacious. Amen. Praise God. So, again, every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God, this is how man lives. You've got to go every day, as the Israelites in the Old Testament, the example that they went out and gathered the bread every day. They went out and sought the quail every day. In other words, the provider was God. God was trying to teach us, amen, that if you will come to me first, amen, and seek me first, amen, and praise God, if you will come to me first to get direction for your life, amen, then I will graciously provide the strength and the counsel that you need, but you've got to go to me first. See, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? All right, so every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. Now, again, we're going to be full of vigor, freshness, amen, of vitality and strength, amen, from that word of God, amen. And every day we've got to go get that word, amen. So he says here in Ephesians 2:18, for through him, who's him? Well, him is Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord, amen. We both, all right, Paul is talking about himself and he's talking to the Ephesians, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Praise God. I thank you, Lord God, that we have access by one Spirit unto you, Lord God. And we bless you right now, Father God, and I honor you, Father God, for your Spirit in my life, for the Holy Ghost, amen, that's quickening this word. Quicken us, O God. Make this word alive to us, Father God. Quicken us, O God, according to thy word, amen. Thy word is truth, amen. The word of God, amen, the truth of God's word is what begins to sanctify us and separate us unto the Father, amen, for his purpose. So for by him, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit, praise God. See, the Holy Ghost leads us to Christ. Christ leads us to the Father, amen. And when he presents you to the Father, amen, God, by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, begins to reveal to you your portion, your plan, your in other words, the direction that God wants to take you in. You see, but this is all by faith, right? Again, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. The just shall live by faith, right? We have to move in faith toward God on these matters. So we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And then he goes on to say, we're no more longer strangers, all right? We're no longer those that don't have a portion or a lot or an inheritance, amen? That's what strangers means here, is that one who receives, where did I see that at? Without the knowledge of, without a share in. You see, we're no longer those that don't have a share in this kingdom, amen, of God, the Father's kingdom, amen? See, the Israelites were given an inheritance, all right? Each one of the tribes received a portion, a land so that was given to them by the Father, amen? And, of course, they had to go in and drive out the enemies in the land. What enemies in me? The land, you see? And well, maybe we'll get into that a little bit, but right now the point is that they weren't strangers. Well, we're not strangers either, glory to God, through him. Through Christ Jesus, amen. Jesus Christ is the finalization of everything. He is the sum of all things, amen, is the title in that book by Watchman Nee. And because of that, when we pursue the Lord, you see, we have to look at this model of Christ Jesus, right? Look at what he's done for us, right? As the scripture says in John 10:9, I am the door, you see. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, pasture here is food, fodder, all right? But it comes from the word nomos, which is anything established, anything received by usage, a custom or a law or a command. So, in other words, that which is prescribed to you. See, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, Zoe, in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. That word law is also the word nomos. What's been distributed to you, for what's been prescribed to you by the Lord, by the Spirit of God. In other words, if you go in and out through me, the door, in other words, the pattern and the path that I've shown you by the example that I lived while I was here on the earth, all right, I was a son of God, amen. I am a son of God, glory to God. And I went back to my Father. Now you, because of me, can go through back to the Father. We both have access unto the Father, all right? And in the in the process of you continuously going to the Father, amen, And in the process, as the word says here, I am the door. Amen. By me, if any man enter, and he shall be sozo, saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You're going to go in and find the portion or the part that he's established for you. Nobody can do the operation of God the way Brother Joseph does it. Nobody can do it the way you do it. Every one of us has the work of God that God has in our hearts. Amen. And it's not this thing that is that, well, I'm called of the Lord. Well, guess what? We're all called of God. Let me show you a scripture on that. Oh, man. I have to show these scriptures because when I make these statements, amen, I've got to prove them that they're right by the word of God. This is why every time I make a statement, I've got to make sure that it's right with the word of God. Amen. All right. This is in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. All right. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. See, Paul was writing here, and he was writing to a group of brothers and sisters, and he told them that you are a partaker of the heavenly calling. All of us are. It's up to you to find that inheritance by going through the way, which is Jesus. I am the door, as he said. You see, you've got to go in and out the way the Lord established for us, and that was through sonship. Amen. And then he says here, all right, let me go back to Ephesians, all right? For through him, because I'm trying to get to something else here that the Lord revealed to me, amen. And I want to share this with you. And this is in Ephesians, again, 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And remember, we're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners. But we're fellow citizens, right? Sum politis, amen. We're all partakers and sharers of this divine inheritance, oh God, amen. Through the way of God, amen. We'll receive from the Lord. Amen. Now, look at this one. This is the definition for the word. Okay, the word access here is the word, it says prosagoge. Okay? And it means the act of bringing to or moving towards, to approach, all right? Admission. For through him we both have a ticket, glory to God. To get on this train, glory to God, that leads us to the Father by the Spirit of God. All right, now, the word admission, that's what I'm sorry. That word comes from another word, prosago, which means to lead or to bring. To open a way of access for one to God. Amen. And so, and that particular word comes from two other Greek words, and the primary thing I'm trying to get to is the word pros. It comes from the word pros. And pros means to the advantage of. So you could look at that scripture. It says, for through him we both have the advantage of, by sonship, amen, to one Spirit, by one Spirit, unto the Father. Isn't that beautiful? Man, that blessed me so much. For through him we both have the advantage of sonship by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen? Because you're not going to do it without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You're not going to enter into the portion or the lot or the share that God has for you without going through Christ. And you can't get to the Lord Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit only testifies of Jesus Christ. He never receives honor and glory unto himself. Wow. And so, again, we both have access by one Spirit. And the word, like I said, access all comes from the root word to the advantage of. Amen. And which pros is first, in other words. You see, we have, like I said, our portion and our share by the Spirit of God, amen, to the Father, amen. And every one of us has an inheritance in the Father, amen. And so I wanted to share this with you and encourage you, body of Christ, that as long as you keep on seeking the Lord, amen, and keep on seeking to represent the Father and be that son or daughter of God in this earth, amen, because you know as well as I know, you know, that not only, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Wow. Now, it's very clear, amen, where the path of this world and where it is that it's going, right? And so he says here in verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, all right? Express is the word in express words, outspokenly, that is very distinctly, very clear on what he's saying. Always, amen. As Jesus says, what the Spirit is saying to the church, the body of Christ, amen. The Spirit speaks expressly, amen, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. How do you depart from the faith? Well, you begin to govern your own life. And let's say, you know, in your mind, your heart, you're thinking that, you know, yeah, I got it going on right now, you know, and not, and you don't necessarily consciously make a decision, but all of a sudden you start drawing away from the Father. You start drawing away from the Word. You don't spend any time in the Word of God. You're not fellowshipping the Spirit of God. You're not fellowshipping the Father, amen, by the Spirit. And so you begin to draw away from the Lord, amen, from the Word of God. And the word here to depart from is the word aphistemi. Histemi means to stand, right? We know this. To make a stand off, to cause, to withdraw, to remove, you see. To instigate a revolt, to desist, to desert, right? You know what happens to individuals that are involved in the military and they desert? Well, that's what this word is that they depart. They desert. They don't want to be a part of the association of the military, so they go what they call AWOL, missing in action, right? Or I don't exactly know what that means, but the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times men shall depart from the faith. The latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, listening to the wrong sources, amen. Prosecco is the word giving heed, which is to hold the mind. Something grabbed your attention, right? And this is why idolatry, right? Understanding what idolatry is and that how that we so easily are able to be swayed and get into a situation where all of a sudden we're in full-blown idolatry. And it's always about you, what you want. So you set up these idols and you worship these idols and you don't even know you're doing it. And so, giving heed to seducing spirits, amen, demons that cause you to wander and rove and mislead you, all right, and doctrines of devils, speaking in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding some to abstain from meats. There's organizations that forbid you to marry. You know, you can't be in this role of priest as a husband and wife. You can't be married. A woman can't be, you know, a particular whatever role they have for the woman and be that role if she's married. And then this other thing, it says, commanding to abstain from meat. So there's organizations everywhere, right? That don't eat this, don't eat that, you know. And all that is dead works, body of Christ. That's all it is. It's something that just keeps you distracted from the Father. And the goal of the Father, amen, is always, like I said, the goal of God is to get us to the Father, to bring you into your portion, into your inheritance. And that inheritance is Christ. In other words, the model, the pattern that we have is Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Praise God. All right, let's go ahead and now get into the outline here. And today we're going to be talking about the soul again. And we're going to discuss here. So in the outline here, we're going to start in section 5. Remember now, in all these discussions that we've been having regarding the way, I've been drawing a contrast with the different ways of man, the ways of the strange woman, you know, and now we're going to get into the way of the soul. So it's very important that the body of Christ understands that we are threefold beings. We're spirit, we're soul, and we're body. Now, for an individual that has not been born again, it's like a balloon with no air. Your spirit, man, is deflated. You have nothing. You can't be driven by God. The only thing, as a matter of fact, that you can be driven by is demonic spirits. Because demons are spirits. They're air. They're breath. And they're constantly breathing thoughts and ideas and philosophies and views into people's lives. And the seed gets dropped in that person's life. You see, demonic activity is not just because somebody's demon possessed, but it's through the seed or through the idea, the corruptible seed, right? See, being born again of incorruptible seed, all right? Well, there is incorruptible and there's corruptible. And that corruptible seed is the ideas and philosophies that totally take us away from God, you see? So the soul, like I said, the mind, the will, and the emotions, that is what the soul is. And so spirit, soul, and body, right? And all these seeds of perversion in our lives, these are the enemies in our lives that must be rooted out. And the way it gets rooted out, and we'll get into that in a minute, how does the soul get saved? Because the soul doesn't get saved like the spirit of an individual. Spirit is easy to get born again. Soul takes time and pressure. Amen. Time that is to learn the ways of God, get taught the ways of God, get dealt with by the Lord, come into obedience to the word. And that word has to come through somebody. And we'll get into that. So the mind, okay, can be divided into areas of imagination, reasoning, thought, logic, intellect, all summed up in one word, understanding. In dealing with the soul, one of the primary things that you will encounter is the desire to possess knowledge, all right? And through the above five functions, the soul man will accumulate information for the purpose of coming to a conclusion. So the mind, again, sorry about that. The mind, very important that we understand, again, excuse me, what this soul is, right? And the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? These are the things that, the areas of our soul, right? The mind, the will, the emotions. And in your mind, the desire that it has is to, or the will or the purpose is to compile information, right? To come to a conclusion. And then the next section of our soul is our will, your will, you see, which is your desire, your decision, choice, intent, purpose, and desire. And these are summed up in determination, all right? Once a man or a woman gets bent on a certain direction, it's hard to pull them off that path. And that's where the will of man must also be saved. And then the emotions. These are made up of your five physical senses, sight, taste, touch, hearing, smelling. And within this other realm are hatred and love and so forth, right? And so as the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, last verse in that chapter, 14, I'm sorry, but strong meat belongs to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Senses exercised, those are your emotions. You see, even your emotions have to be saved. You have to know how to keep your seat. You have to know how to be quiet before the Lord. In some situations, you don't need to say nothing, you see. And you have to learn how to keep that soul reined in because he has the desire to move in directions. He wants, in other words, the enemy wants to manipulate the soul and move it in a direction apart from God by his direction. And that's called super soul. This is where an individual can be demonically inspired on something in a direction that's not even God, you see. And it happens all the time, right? All right, so now, Jesus, he taught us very clearly that if you seek to save your life, your soul, you're going to lose it. But if you seek to lose your suke, your soul for my sake, you'll find it. Amen. And so save it, lose it, lose it, save it. Preserve and rescue and or rescue your soul. See, when there is something that we need to be in that mode of, right, fight or flight, right? That's instinctive where you're trying to either protect your family or protect yourself from danger or harm, right? But when it's something that's not going to necessarily, it's not something dangerous, right? I mean, and therefore, but the thing is, the number one strength of a mankind's soul is self-preservation. The soul always preserves itself. Anytime the soul feels threatened, or anytime the soul is getting exposed, they don't want to deal with that. In other words, the Spirit of God is the one that's doing the exposing from the Word of God. You see, you have to have the Word of God to be able to see this, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, marrow and soul, the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thought and intent of the heart. Only the soul only the Word of God can bring this to us. See, that's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Dividing asunder the soul and spirit. I said spirit and soul. But so the distinction here is that word of God is the only thing that can come between what is of God, what is not of God. What is of your soul, what is of your spirit. All right. And then he says in verse 13, neither is there any creature, any individual with a soul that is not manifest in his sight. Right. How can it be manifest in his sight? Well, because he is the Word. Jesus is the Word. He can see it all. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The eyes of him with, of all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with, is the word pros, to the advantage of whom we have to do. The Logos. See, the more Logos in your life, the more advantage you have in being able to see by the Lord, by the Spirit of God, because the Holy Ghost is going to quicken that word to you. And he'll allow you to see an area of someone that's operating in the soul, and you quickly are able to distinguish, well, that's not of God. But again, that's so important that we get this word, amen, the word in our lives, taught the word of God now. I'm not just saying go to a service and get prophesied over. I'm talking about getting taught, teaching, make disciples, right? Divinefavor.org, that's what this is all about, is teaching the body of Christ, amen. All right, now, after Adam, in Genesis 2:17, after Adam saved his soul, he lost the divine nature of God. You see, Adam made a choice to choose the knowledge of good and evil versus God. God already said, don't eat of this tree. And the day that you eat of it, you're going to die, right? Genesis 2:17. But the problem is that, you know, Eve is the one that the enemy approached. He didn't go to the man first, right? The order of first things is God over Christ, Christ over man over woman. Authority structure, all right? And that's in 1 Corinthians 11, if you want to go look at it. And there's a reason why God set up the order, but the point is that the enemy bypassed the order of God, which is go to the male first, and he went to the female. And so I've read and shared with you before, the word for woman is plaint in the definition of the Noah Webster 1828, and plaint means to bend easily. And there's a reason why God brought rule to the man and why he needs the man to rule in this earth. All right, take dominion. And again, you must be submitted, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You can't take dominion if you're not submitted to God. All right, now, so the tree of life versus the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The spirit man goes to the tree of life. A soul goes to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his first instinct. So in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, let's take a look at that. Mark chapter 8, we'll call this the Great Exchange. What happened? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. All right, Jesus, he says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world and lose his own suke, his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What do you give in exchange for your soul? You let it die. You die to yourself. And in the exchange, you're going to get the life of God. Well, Adam sought his own suke, soul, right? He made a choice outside of God, and the breath of God was removed from their lives. They no longer had the presence of God, the life of God, to bring direction to their lives. And this is the state of mankind and the body of Christ all over the world. That's why to come into this kingdom of God, you've got to be and humble yourself as a child. All the ideas, all the philosophies or views and things that you have, you've got to take all these things that you've been trained in and what you went through seminary for and whatever, and they trained you. You've got to let the Spirit of God utilize all these tools and all these forces. But not because you make the conscious choice to go in a certain direction, but because you're being led of the Spirit. And so as the Scripture says, for as many as are led of the Spirit, these are the weos, the fully matured sons of God. Wow. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his suke? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, this is it, and of my words, Rhema, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his own glory, in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You know, this adulterous and sinful generation is not just, you know, people that are married and having relationships with other women and vice versa. You're not married and you're having relationships, right? You're adulterous or you're a fornicator. It's not just the act, you know, the sexual act, but it's the areas of our lives where we compromise and get in league with the world, with Egypt, all right? And that's the issue, is that did you seek God to take that direction? And if you didn't, then you're missing out on God's direction. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 1. He says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." So a lot of things there. You took counsel, you took direction in life, and I didn't tell you to go that way, is what the Lord is saying here. And it's the same thing the body of Christ is still doing today. And then they look for a covering. They look for an authority to get over, put over their lives, and it wasn't of God. See, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11, I guess I'm going to have to read that, because that's what we're talking about, right? Covering, authority, and where, what are you moving out? In other words, who's your covering? verse 3, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So he says here, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered with another authority, dishonors his head. You see, there is no other authority that should be over your lives except Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, you see. And when we put another covering over our lives, we're out of order, man. That's not the way of God, amen. And the thing is that, you know, Paul, he ministered and shared and taught everywhere, but his whole goal was to lead everybody to Christ, amen, and eventually come into your inheritance. He didn't step outside of that. He didn't move beyond that. He understood his order. He understood his role. It's not me. It wasn't Paul. It was the Spirit of God, amen. So what am I saying here? Well, as it says here, you, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit. It's not divine order, in other words. "And that walk and go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." You know, we had a meeting in Marshall, Brother Andy, and so on, and the meeting was about the mystery of marriage, right? And the beautiful, one of the things that I took away from that is that the mystery of marriage is Christ in the church. If you want to see the state of the body of Christ, then look at the state of marriage in the earth, you know. And one thing I started realizing is that, you know, what we're seeking to promote and advance should always be the family unit, because it was designed by God, amen, for us to nurture and care for our children as husbands and wives, amen, and bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And again, get them ready for their inheritance, their portion, their part. And then they do the same thing and keep making disciples, keep training their own children, keep training those that are in their lives and so on. It was called The Mystery of Marriage. You can find it under Kingdom Enterprise on YouTube there. But one of the things, like I said, that Brother Randy shared was that the mystery of marriage is Christ in the church, right? And, I mean, we've known about this scripture. Surely we have. Many, long time. But the statement that he made is that the marriage is the reflection of the church, not the church. You don't go to the church, the body of Christ, to see the mystery of marriage. You go to husband and wife. You want to understand the order of Christ in the church, then you understand a husband and a wife and their roles and how they interact with one another and so on. And but anyway, so they strengthen themselves in trust in the shadow of Egypt. "Therefore this shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt be your confusion." All right? And that's what happens, right? We get in confusion when we step out of the purpose of God, amen. When we take our own direction in life and we don't seek or pursue God on the matters, and we're lost. We get lost, if you will. All right? Now, back to the outline. So the soul after the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He always goes to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or what appeals to the intellect and to the senses. Now listen to this statement. The soul is full of pride, arrogance, The soul is commanding, domineering, rude, ill-mannered, inconsiderate. The soul is loud. The soul is boastful. The soul is talkative. The soul is opinionated. The soul is showy. The soul is demonstrative. All right. The soul is flashy. The soul is obnoxious. The soul is full of insecurities, fears, intimidations, inhibitions. The soul is introverted, extroverted, critical, judgmental, condescending, condemning. The soul is self-sufficient. The soul is reliant, motivating, self-seeking. The soul is self-love, self-esteem. All right. Self-adoration idolizes himself. The soul is self-worship and self-love. So all these facets are come from a seed or an experience of something happened in someone's life, and therefore they have all these reactions in their lives of how they respond. And all that is from the soul. So we see now that the soul has to be delivered. It has to be saved. It has to be trained up, in other words, in the right way. So in Proverbs 11:30, all right. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It takes a lot of wisdom, man. A lot of wisdom. A lot of the Spirit of God to be able to understand the soul of God. A lot of Word of God to see the distinction of the soul and the Spirit. And you can't do it without the Word of God. You cannot do it without the Spirit of God. All right, now, so the soul has to be saved. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," W-H-O-L-L-Y. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, therefore, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved," or reserved, or sanctified unto the Lord. You see, and we can't get there, again, without understanding that the Word of God has to do some work on our lives. In other words, there's things that have to be circumcised or cut off, and that is the flesh, the carnal man. All right? Now, in Hebrews 10:38-39, it says here, "Now the just, the righteous ones live by faith. But if any man draw back away from faith toward God," amen, "my soul," the Father's saying here, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him." But we are not of them who draw back. We don't pull back from faith toward God in our lives. We constantly seek God. We're constantly pursuing God. We're constantly going after the Father, going after this kingdom, right? "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or worthlessness, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Right there. The word saving is the preservation, the acquisition. How do we acquire the soul? How do we get him under wraps? How do we get him in a place where he's under control? All right. Now, how does the soul get saved? Well, let's take a look at a scripture. James chapter 1, verse 21. He says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." The superfluity is abundance, overdoing it, right? You know, like somebody sometimes will put on some cologne or perfume and it's strong. That's superfluity. That's overdoing it. So, the engrafted word which is able to save your soul, all right? Now, we know, according to the Word of God, I think this is in, engrafted here is the word implanted, all right? So how do you graft, right? Well, you have to, when you do a graft, you have to cut into the rose bush or whatever, the peach tree, the apple tree, whatever you're grafting in, you have to make a cut somewhere, all right? In that process of the cut, is an example of the flesh that has to be cut off, all right? So there, in other words, the Word of God, when it's cutting you, all right, quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, when that Word is slicing on your soul from an idea or philosophy that's getting cut away, you've got to allow that Word word to stay embedded, the seed of the word of the kingdom of God in your heart, so that that word will produce the fruit of the kingdom of God out of your soul. The results, you see. And so, the engrafted word, which it was saved. So now let me show you something here in John chapter 15, I think. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the farmer. My Father is the one that's, it's the word gorgos, which is the land worker, the farmer. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. For you are clean, glory to God, by the Logos which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, he that allows that word to stay in his heart, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. All right? So again, the engrafted word. That word has to stay in your life. It has to be a part of your life. And when it begins to cut on you, because it's circumcising that carnal man away, you see, the carnal is the axe, you see, but it's being inspired from the soul, all right? And when those things are in our lives and they're getting crept up and the Word of God is dealing with something, you got to allow the Word of God to cut that in your life by the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Ghost is the one that convicts and refutes and reproves, right? And you've got to allow that Word to cut out these perversions and things that we're involved in our lives that are not of God. All right? Now, let's see here. All right, now, so the engrafted word. Now, another one, Luke chapter 21, verse 19. Look at this one. Same principle, glory to God. Luke 21. In your patience, possess you your soul. Possess ye, all right, is the word to acquire, to get, to own. How do we own this soul? How do we manage this soul? I tell my sons, if you don't manage yourself, somebody else is going to manage you. Amen. You have to know how to manage yourself, conduct yourself. So in your patience, you possess your soul. Suke. The word patience here is the word hupomene. Hupomene means steadfastness, constancy, endurance. It just means consistency. In your consistent dealing with your soul on an area that God is looking to cut out by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, in your life, you've got to stay consistent in that word in your heart and in your life so that the outcome, the fruit that gets produced is Jesus Christ. He is the image that we're trying to reflect in all of our lives. Praise God. And this is a process, right? This is not something that happens instantaneously. You've got to spend time with God. You got to break and you got to repent before the Lord. You got to come into brokenness, right? For, as the scripture says, and Jesus said this, if the rock falls on you, it's going to crush you to powder. But if you will to fall upon the rock, if you allow your own will, your own determination, your own soul to fall and humble yourself, amen, and come into brokenness, break, amen, then as the scripture says, you possess your soul here. You manage your soul. You understand how the soul operates. And there's a whole book on this particular subject. It's called The Marismos of Brother Randy. Put out a long time ago in the 80s. And you can go that, get that in kingdomenterprise.org. And it's called the Marismos. And then the Marismos, there's a little picture in the front. It's a little heart. And one side is black, one side is silver. But it's not even, right? It's so, in other words, the soul is the one that has the preeminence. It should be your spirit man that has the complete preeminence. Because, by the way, your soul is made up, I mean, your heart is your spirit and your soul. It is the center and the core. And anyway, there's that whole teaching is available and learning how to deal with the soul and so on and all these aspects of the soul. So, again, the soul gets saved. Now, 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So as your soul advances in the kingdom of God, you get dealt with by the Lord. God begins to cut all this foolishness out of our lives. He says, I wish that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So as your soul prospers, you're advancing and you're in health. Oh, my goodness. All right. Now, so in 1 Peter 2:23, see, we've got to realize that the Lord is always bringing us back to himself. All right. 1 Peter 2:23. Now, we look at these verses. All right. And, you know, without really understanding, you know, what the Lord is saying, you know, we assume that, you know, this is only just talking about Jesus Christ here. But in verse 25, I'm going to go to that one. For we are a sheep, were a sheep going astray. So think about yourself. You were as a sheep that was just going off on his own way, his own path. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everywhere. Mark of Cain, right? Wandering. But are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. All right? We're returned. We're turned back. To the shepherd, the poimen, Jesus said, I am the door, and I'm going to lead you into pasture, into fodder. I'm going to lead you into a purpose and a path if you'll continue to follow me and my example. And I am the shepherd, and I am the bishop of your soul. The word bishop here is not a title. Office of a bishop is, anyway, an overseer. Okay, so it says here, the word comes from two different Greek words, 1909, which is epi, which means over and upon, all right? And then the word scopos, which is where we get the word for scope on a rifle, for example. It brings the subject in tight and close. The bishop of our souls is always doing that in our lives. And the purpose of that is to bring you back under your spirit, man, where you get in back in right relationship with the Father, amen, so that your relationship doesn't get hindered. But you have to receive that correction. You've got to receive that slice that's getting made on that vine, you see? And you've got to take him in and allow that correction to change your life as you begin to pursue God. And sometimes we see it. Sometimes we see it right away. Sometimes we don't. But ultimately, thank God for the Spirit of God, and he's the one that moves on that word in your life, and he begins to be revealed to you and show you, hey, Brother Joseph, yes, this is you, man. You got to own it. You need to repent. You need to get back with me. All right, so return to the sheep, shepherd, and bishop of our souls. Now, in 1 Peter 1:23, and I've been alluding to this. Praise God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You see, you can't get regenerated. Born again is born from above, or an anageneo, to produce again, to be born again, but beget or bear. All right, that's the word geneo, man who fathered children, and then the other word, ana, into the mist. You've got to allow that word to go in between our lives. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Logos of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, that incorruptible seed is living and abiding forever. It must live and abide forever in your soul. And that word is what the Holy Spirit is able to use and call forth and breathe on it and bring rhema to it, bring breath to it, and bring direction and bring distinction and bring counsel, bring understanding, you see, for direction and purposes in our lives, the inheritance. Amen? And 2 Peter 1, 3-4, he says here, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Again, lively is efficacious, fresh, strong, efficient. All right. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, it says reserved in heaven, but how many of you know that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? The will, what's happening in heaven, God wants it down here, the will of God, the purpose of God. So, see, this inheritance is an incorruptible inheritance. Well, the word is incorruptible. The seed of God, the kingdom of God, is an incorruptible seed. That seed of God is your inheritance. And when you begin to allow that word to operate in your life, in your soul, and allow God to breathe on the word in your life to bring direction to you, you begin to understand what it means to be led of the Spirit as an individual. All right? So partakers of the divine nature, all right? All right, so we're going to, that's where we're going to leave it. And, but again, you know, so precious here, to an inheritance incorruptible and defiled, and that fadeth not away and reserved in heaven for you. You see, not only are you laying up treasures, you know, not only are the good works performed here, and there's a blessing that comes from that, but there's also treasures that are laid up for you with the Father. Amen. When we finally get to that place where we're with God. All right. And by the way, you know, like I said earlier, you know, it's not about eternal life, because eternally you're going to live somewhere. You're going to be either with God or away from God. It's about the Zoe life of God now. You see, John 10:10, and the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He does not want us to get into that word. And so he's constantly killing, constantly stealing, and destroying. All right. But I am come, Jesus said, that you might have Zoe, life of God, and have it more abundantly. Constantly breathing forth out of your spirit, glory to God, and illuminating that word and making it come alive to you, glory to God. And all of a sudden, that daily bread, amen, that rhema of God is bringing that direction and that counsel from God. And you're taking a step in a direction with God, and you're in sync, oh God, amen. And the purpose of God is being accomplished, amen, in the earth. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this precious time with you, Lord, precious time with your word, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is life unto those who find them and health to all their flesh, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that in him was Zoe, in us is Zoe, and the Zoe is our life. It's our revelation, comprehension, understanding. Amen. And I bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I thank you for all those who partake of your word, Father, and your spirit. And we bless you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ, make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.